Bibles again tonight. We're going to look further on in the book of Ephesians, if you'll look with us in chapter number 4. Chapter number 4 in the book of Ephesians. And we got through the first 6 verses and got into the idea of the practical side of this thing, how that Paul has been writing all of the positional, but now he gets into the practical. And with that, you and I are learning how that we have some obligation in this thing. You know, I guess that's where we are today, is by the church world is like it's all theoretical. You know, it's going to be like this one day, and we're going to go to heaven one day, all that kind of thing. But man, we're here right now, and that means there is something that you and I must do in the here and now. I mean, Paul has talked to this church, and as a matter of fact, he gives them 2 prayers. In chapter number 1 and chapter number 3, chapter 1, he prays for their enlightenment. And in chapter number 3, he prays for their enablement. And now here, he starts in chapter number 4. He says, by the way, I've prayed for you, but now it's time for you to do it. It's time for you to suit up, get in the game, and be part of the team that everything's happening with. He says, verse number 1 of chapter 4, just to reiterate, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. In other words, you've been called to do something. You know, people look around and say, oh no, preacher, you got me mixed up with somebody else. I don't do any of that church stuff. Hey, every one of us should be doing some church stuff. If you want to call it church stuff, you and I have got to get involved in the work of the Lord. And it's not just preachers. It's not just teachers. It's not just the choir directors and musicians and you know, candidates and position of offices in the church. Man, there's something for everybody to do. As a matter of fact, I would urge you to take your Bible and show me anywhere the Lord says, now I've got some folks that do, but the rest of you take a break. No, we're all supposed to be doing something for God. Amen? And not very many people do. So, hey, that's going to be sermon number 1. Y'all take that and chew on that a while. All right? All right, let's look at this, if you will, though. Let's talk about this going forth in verse number 7. We'll go down through verse number 16. Let's begin there and we'll read. Paul says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Bless that word of prayer, if you would not. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for the evening, and I thank you again for giving us this opportunity and the word of God tonight. Be a blessing in it. Just give us your direction, give us your wisdom and your help. Now, I pray, Father, be a blessing to all of those that need you tonight and those that have some burdens and cares and situations, those that are maybe there in the hospitals, those that are there in the nursing homes, those in the at their own home recuperating. Just be a blessing to them tonight. Help us all as we hear from the Word of God. Give us some of your wisdom and give us of the good grace of God, everything we need to be a workman and a doer of the things of the gospel. And again, we'll just praise you and we'll thank you for everything that you do. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. As I said, we've talked about all these things that Paul has done. And now we're going to talk about this, about our standing. And you and I had are able to stand, and we're going to stand tonight by the superiority of the Savior's supply. I mean, the Lord supplies for us in the body of Christ, the things that you and I need. I mean, the church needs some things. The church has got to have a group of folks that realize they all have a part in the work of God. And we do have what we need, and it's all given to us by the grace of God. So let's look at that tonight, if you will, as we begin this. And I'm going to start out with this little thought, if you will. Let's call this the measuring spoon. The measuring spoon. Most people know what this is. Most of y'all have those at home, and you ladies particularly, you fool with a few measuring spoons. Those of you that have had children here in the last little while, you've had to measure out some of that medicine and give them some, pull out that measuring spoon, give them a dose of this. Well, let's look at the Lord's measuring spoon tonight as he discusses this thought and talks about what he has given to us in the church. Look what he says in verse number 7. He says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." He said, look, I want you to know that every one of you have been given grace to do something, to be what you ought to be for him, according to the measure of Christ. Now, as I said, Paul's already said, look, I've prayed for you that God would enlighten you and give you some wisdom. I've prayed for you that God would give you some enablement and give you the power of God in your life. And now I'm telling you to go out and do what God has called you to do. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. He says, here's how you're supposed to do it. And then he talks about doing it along with lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing each other, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he goes on and says, look, we are one. He said, there are a lot of things that unite us. I think everybody in here can agree on that there's a lot of things in the church that unite us. And Paul gives us those things, right? The seven things. He said, there's one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. He said, we've got a lot of things that pull us together and cause us to be a church. He said, but I want you to know this. Even thinking about every bit of that, I want you to realize you are still an individual to be used by the power and purpose of God. Everybody in here's got something. So, you know, and look, I think sometimes we kind of get mixed up on some things. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, but unto every one of us, he didn't say to every preacher, to every deacon, to every church worker, teacher, you know, whatever. He said, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He said, look, every one of us have got something that is given to us. Now, don't get your ideas of, some people have some natural abilities in a lot of things, okay? We're talking about spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift. Natural abilities. There are some people that have some talents. I mean, they're talented. They have natural ability. You know, some people are definitely stronger than others. Some people are definitely smarter than others. Some people are, you know, just naturally talented and gifted in certain areas of their life, right? Everybody's got some of those natural abilities. Don't get those things mixed up with your spiritual gift. There's a spiritual gift that God gives to every one of us. I believe he gives every one of his children at least one spiritual gift. Now, some people have more than that. Some people can do a number of things, and praise God for that. Aren't you glad of that? But I think everybody's got a spiritual gift. Let me just read you this. Warren Wiersbe says this about a spiritual gift. He said, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve God and your fellow Christians in such a way that Christ is glorified and the believers are edified. Amen? I mean, that's what a spiritual gift is. Let me just tell you, criticism is not a spiritual gift. Amen. I think a lot of folks think it is. Well, preacher, God called me to be a critic. No, he didn't call anybody to be a critic. Amen. Gossiping, that ain't a spiritual gift. I'll just give you a little hint right there. I mean, you know, prefabricating the truth and all of that kind of stuff. None of those are spiritual gifts. There are spiritual gifts. And a lot of folks will read this chapter and you'll see where he talks about how that he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all that. That's not all of the spiritual gifts. There are several places in Paul's writings where he mentions spiritual gifts. He mentions that there are spiritual gifts, and he names some of them. And if you look at those lists, and it may be three or four different places that Paul talks about that, as he does, none of those lists are complete. I mean, they're not replicated. They're not like, he said this here, and he said the same thing here, and said the same. No, he said different things in different places. And it may even be this thought, he didn't even tell us all of them, right? I mean, there are some things that you can do for the body of Christ. And I mean, that's to glorify God and edify your fellow Christians. Hey, God's given you something to do. There is something that every person that's been saved, you can do. It may be pray. It may be encourage. It may be give financially. It may be just to smile and have a pleasant spirit. It may be occupy that pew and give it all you got while you're in here worshiping God. I mean, there is something that everybody can do. And God needs every one of us to do what he's called us to do. So that's what I believe Paul is saying. But I want you to notice this, where he's talking about in this measurement of this gift. Notice what he says. He said, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he goes on, he says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's a quote there in verse number 8 out of Psalm 68, verse 18. That's a quote from that psalm. I mean, he takes, and many times you'll see Paul take an Old Testament passage, put it into the New Testament, and give it a spiritual understanding for us in our day, if you will. And that's what he's doing here with this. But first of all, I want you to notice this. This gift, your gift, is freely given. The Lord gives you a gift freely. You don't have to pay anything for a spiritual gift. I mean, really, you don't. It's not going to cost you a thing. The Lord freely gives spiritual gifts. As I said, he gives everybody one. Now, some people's look different. Some people's are one of those out front kind of looking things. And you say, well, they're blessed and they're talented and they're gifted in this. I mean, just for instance, some people can sing. And guess what? There's some other of us that don't do quite so good. Amen? I mean, you just have to do what you can. And God just spiritually, and to do that, what you do with a spirit and with a goodness and with the glory of God, hey, just go ahead anyway. Amen? If God's in that, just bless his holy name with whatever gift he's given you. Some people are able to teach and understand the scriptures and give those things out. And everybody can't do that. But, you know, there's some other people that can do some things in the background that the rest of us are just not able to do. We're not spiritually blessed and gifted to be in the background and do some things that, you know, some people can pray. Some people, as I say, they can encourage people. They can do some of these other things. That's their spiritual gift. And it's not necessarily put them out in the forefront where everybody sees them, but it's still a spiritual gift needed in the church. And guess what? God freely gives those gifts. The gift is freely given. I want you to notice this. Not only is that gift freely given, that gift is full of grace. Do you see this? He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Jesus is given gifts, and he gives it to you with grace. He gives it to you through grace and with grace. I'm telling you, when things are done and God gives you that gift and you know that it's given to you and you've got it by the grace of God, hey, God wants you to use it with some grace. And what I mean by that, when you have a gift that's been given by grace, do you know that it eliminates some things? It eliminates You can give stuff sometimes, but you might not be happy about giving it. You might do it in a harsh way. Here, take this. Yeah. Some of you been like that. I remember when my kids were little, and we'd tell one of the older, maybe older brother, give your brother this toy. Here. He let him have it, but it wasn't real gracefully done. Okay, man. Say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Amen. I mean, that's done with a lot of grace, right? I'm just telling you, when you have a spiritual gift, there needs to be some grace. And God gave it. It's full of grace when He gave it. He gave it to you, and He gave it to you. It said He's given it with that measure of the grace of God. I'm telling you, you and I, when we have that spiritual gift, when we use it, it's given to us. And brother, I'm telling you, He's given it to us in grace and with grace. And we ought to use it in grace, because it eliminates that harshness. That harshness that can come, that abrasiveness that comes through us sometimes, or that attitude of presumptuousness. Well, I guess I got to do this. Well, God bless you. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm going to give some money, but I ain't necessarily going to be happy about it. I'm coming to the event, but I don't necessarily like it. Well, then just shut up and quit. Amen. Right? I'm just telling you, you need to have some grace about it. When God has given you something and you're able to use it and you're able to do it, go ahead and do it with some joy. Go ahead and do it with some grace. Go ahead and do it with some smile on your face. Amen. Amen. I mean, you see those people sometimes, like an old fella, I think it's Jerry Harold Smith, said he's seen a fella put some money in the offering plate down front, and the ushers began to go back down the aisle. And that old fella turned and watched them as they went down the aisle. And he said, it's as if he was saying, God be with you till we meet again. Amen. When he put his dollar in the plate. I'm telling you, there's some folks, just give. You know, give her. I mean, of this gift has given fully. Look what he says. Wherefore he saith, this is Paul's quoting that scripture in Psalm 18, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He said, this is what's recorded in the scripture about when he gave some things, gave these gifts. He is given, and this is a picture. This quote is the picture, really, of a conquering commander of an army. You remember when the Bible says that here's Abraham's got together with some fellas, and they go and they fight the battle, and they get back the things that were taken, and you know there's several of the kings that get together and they're fighting against the others, and they come back, and it's the first time you're introduced to Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the king of Salem and the high priest of Salem, and we're introduced to him there. And you know what Abraham does? He gives him a gift. Well, why did he do that? Because he had conquered, he had gained, and he was ready to give it away. Can I tell you, Paul said that's a picture of what Jesus has done. Jesus has conquered the devil. He's overcome the things that held me and you captive. And now he's ready to give some good gifts to all of us as his children. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, hey, if you remember the story, David and his men go and fight a battle against the enemy. And when they get through, they have the spoil. And David gives it to, you remember, those 200 that were so faint they couldn't go. They just stayed with the stuff. David gave them part of it. And then it says that David went and he gave gifts to some of his friends around about the countryside that helped. He went and distributed from the spoils of the victory. What are you saying? I'm saying Jesus didn't just take everything up to heaven and say, well, y'all, I've conquered it. Do the best you can. No, sir. He gave us some gifts. Amen. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying he has given gifts unto men. And then he puts a little parenthetical in there, I guess, for me and you to understand a little bit more. He said, now, that he ascended, What is it? He said, you figure this out. This is the same one that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He said, it's like this. Jesus, when he came out of the grave, went, this is the one that has ascended, that's going to ascend. But first of all, he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he took those that were captive in paradise, if you will. He took those captives, captivity, he brought them with him, and he ascended back up on high. He cleaned out paradise, and hell hath enlarged herself to greet others at their coming. Amen? That's what he stuck that parenthetical in there for, and I don't know. He that is descended is also he that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. I mean, he's done what he's done, but he's given some gift. Jesus said, y'all come with me. Thank God I've overcome, I've conquered, and y'all going to get something good out of this. But he also left some things behind for the church. You see what he said? And we'll move on from this idea. But this is the giver. I want you to think about this, though. I mean, when a commander overcomes, he gets a gift. Or he gets the spoils and he gives out gifts. And the Jews understood this, according to some of the commentators. The Jews understood this action in the book of Psalms as this up on Mount Sinai. And God gave him the commandments and he came down and gave, you know, they understood that's what God gave. God gave something to Moses and Moses distributed it to the people as far as the gifts of the Word of God and the Ten Commandments. They understand that. Me and you've got it, that this was Jesus. And when he was resurrected from the grave, man, he has ascended heavenward just as he did on that day of Pentecost. He told them. Before he went to leave here, he did a lot of things for the apostles. He breathed on them. And he said, peace be unto you. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And I mean, he's done all of these wonderful, marvelous things for his disciples. And then there on the day of Pentecost, he rose up, right? He took off. And they're standing there looking at it. But buddy, after that, they began to exercise the use of those gifts that Jesus left behind for them on the day of Pentecost. And now, here we are, you know, 2,000 plus years later, and we're still blessed with the gifts that Jesus gave to the church. Amen? All right, but look at this, if you will, next. Notice the ministry servants. The ministry servants. He talked about the measuring spoon there in those first few verses, but look down in verse number 11. He says, and he gave. Paul said, okay, let's just talk about the things that he gave. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He talks about what he's done, and he's talking about the ministry's servants. And this is what God gave as gifts and the people that he gave it to. Now, as I said, you read this, sometimes people say, well, there's the gifts right there. It's the gift of preaching and teaching and evangelistic and, you know, all that. No, this is just part of it. This is not the whole list. This is part of it. But Paul's emphasis here, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the unity of the church. He's talking about our work as a church. So he's saying, here, let me tell you about the servants, the ministry servants. First of all, I want you to understand these things that are given. He says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He said all of those things are given, first of all, for the propagation of God's word. All of those folks are given to get God's word out. Did you know we need the word of God to go out? Hey, I'm thankful Brother Tyler's out working in the evangelistic side of ministry. I'm thankful that there are pastors that stand Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday night. Man, they stand, they preach a word. I'm thankful for those other men of God that are laboring in nursing homes and in jail ministries and street corners and, you know, wherever it is that they are. Thank God they're out there. Why? Because they're supposed, and we're supposed to propagate. We're supposed to push forward. We're supposed to give out the word of God. And he said, this is some of the gifts that God has given. The gift of getting the word of God out. It's got to be done. And he's got some people to do it. Amen. He got men that he's called into this particular situation. I mean, there is preaching and there is teaching that is done by this. And thank God for that. Amen. But not only that, I believe he talks about this and says, look, these things that he's given are for the protection of his work. For the protection. You'll notice that he says here, and I'll say particularly at this time, he gave some apostles and some prophets. The apostle was there to give some guidance for those in those early days. They needed somebody that could give them the proper guidance of the things of God. And God said, I've got somebody for you. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached. And 3,000 folks turned their hearts to the Lord. But guess what? That 3,000 needed an apostle. And the apostles, all of them at that time that were there, they needed those men to guide them. I mean, it'd be like, well, hey, you're saved. I'm going to leave you here in this church by yourself. Figure it out. No, you can't do that. You've got to have somebody. Somebody's got to give some guidance. Somebody's got to give some instruction. Somebody's got to give some understanding to what this thing's about, how it works, and all that. And you see how that Paul later on calls himself, or in one of his writings, he calls himself an apostle as one born out of due season. And he said he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And he was. He was clearly the man that went. And you know what he did? He would go in, he'd establish a church. And you know what he did many times? He would stay there for months and sometimes for years establishing that church. Why? Because they didn't know nothing about church. All they'd known about was some, you know, idol that they'd worshiped. They had some graven image. They had some rock. They had some picture, idolized thing that they were worshiping, you know, a big pile of rocks or something. And Paul said, no, let me tell you about God. And as they began to believe, he said, let me further instruct you and give you that guidance that you need. So he gave some of these for the protection of his work, so that work wouldn't just go to pieces or go to somebody that comes in and try to take over. And it's also known that it was for the protection, was for the guarding of those things that needed to be known by the church. Hey, we need somebody to stand in there and help guard all of the doctrinal, all of the relevant, all the foundational issues. You need somebody to stand in there and guard those things. And that's why he gave some prophets, or some apostles and some prophets, so that they could provide those things for the church. So it's for the protection of his work. The work of God's got to be protected. And God does it in a very logical and sound manner, doesn't he? Propagation of his work, the protection, and also for the production of his will. I like it where he says, man, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I mean, you got some preachers in there. You know what the preachers are going to do? The preachers are going to produce the will of God by preaching to saints and sinners. Preach to them saints and let them know what it is and how to do and how to live right. And preach to them sinners and see that they come to know Christ as Savior. And that's the will of God. The Bible said it's not the will of the Lord that any should perish. Well, what's he going to do? He's going to send out a preacher to preach a word. Amen. Preach that word. Amen. That's what he's wanting. I mean, you know, to get the church and to get people where they know what the will of God is in their lives and in the lives of others. I mean, God's will is this. As I said, that nobody should perish. Nobody needs to go to hell. There's preaching. Amen. And then also for the saints, so that nobody's going to have to perish, but all the saints ought to flourish. I mean, give them the Word of God and help them to grow and flourish and go on and gain and get ahead in the things of God. And he says, look, that's why he did that. He gave those for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. I mean, that's why he gave all that, so that people could come and get saved and get in this thing and do something for God. I mean, that's what he said. It is to perfect us. The Word of God is there in its ministry and these men that God has given to perfect the saints and to do the work of ministry and to edify, lift up, encourage the body of Christ. All right, look at one last thing with me, if you will. Notice that he talks about in these last few verses, verses 13 through 16, he talks about this, the manifested stabilization. This is going to bring a stabilization to the church, to the people of God, however you want to look at it. He is going to bring us some stabilization. How does he do that? Well, first of all, he said there ought to be some growing. Notice what he said. Till we all come. He said, keep on. They're given, those pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, all that. They're given, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. I'm working on y'all. Y'all got perfect yet? I ain't seen one yet, right? That word perfect does mean to be mature or to you know, grow some. Get. And so he's saying there ought to be some growing. Until we come to that place of unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're to continue in your spiritual growth so that you get more and more and more Christ-like in your life. That's the point of it. That's the point. That's what God wants. God don't want you sucking on a baby bottle when you're 20 years old. Oh, I've been around here a long time, preacher. Well, what do you know about the Bible? I don't know nothing. Well, God help you. Amen. You need to grow up and get in this thing and learn something about God. I mean, it's the natural progression that there should be. It is this manifested stabilization when you see that people are growing. Not only that, they're growing, but there is grounding that ought to be going on. Look at what he said in verse 14. That we henceforth, in other words, that we no more, or be no more, children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You ought to get grounded. You ought to get grounded. I mean, here's where we're headed. Get people stabilized and grounded in the things of God. Well, you know, I promise you, I've talked to several folks go out knocking on their doors, you know, and they say, well, we're from the Jehovah's Witnesses. And you get to talking to them a little bit. Well, I used to be a Baptist. Well, what in the wide, wide world of sports happened to you is what I want to know. I mean, used to be a Baptist. You know what? They never got grounded. They never got established. They never got settled. They never really got dug in and rooted. And brother, some little something come along and the wind blew and they went that way. And somebody else's wind will blow and they'll go this way. And they'll be here or there. I've seen people, and I've talked to them. Well, I've been a Baptist, I've been a Methodist, I've been a Episcopalian, I've been a Lutheran, I've been a blah, 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 blah. I mean, they've gone through the whole alphabet. They went through every station of the doctrines and ways of men that are, and I've just been a little bit of everything. Well, get somewhere and get grounded. Amen? You can't believe all that stuff. You can't. It just doesn't make sense to me. Amen. I was reading this story about a fella that was a preacher, said a missionary came to him and told him, you know, he was soliciting for help and trying to get some money to get on the field and go do. And he said, what church you go to? And he said, the missionary said, well, I'm a member of the Invisible Church. And he said, Invisible Church? He said, is that the name? He said, where is the Invisible Church? He said, who is your pastor? He said, I don't quite get that about the Invisible Church. He said, the guy said, well, I'm a member of the Invisible Church. And he said, well, I don't quite understand what you're talking about by the Invisible Church. He said, you're at a church here, and this is the, you know, blah, 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 Baptist church. He said, and you're here asking us for money. I don't get this about your Invisible Church. And he said the missionary looked at him and said, well, what you really have here is not a right church. He said, I'm a member of the invisible church. So the preacher looked at him, reached in his pocket, and he said, here's you some invisible money to help you with the invisible church. Good day. Amen. And that's about the way you ought to handle some of those things. I mean, you need to get grounded in what you believe and then dig in with it. I mean, don't be moved. Paul said, look, don't be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, and then the slight of men, the little crafty, cunning, come in and take over kind of guy. Don't let that get you. But it does a lot of folks. Why? Because they're not grounded. But Paul said, here, there should be some growing. There should be grounding. And he said, then there is that grouping. Look in the last verse, verse 16, or verse 15. He says, speaking the truth in love, that they may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom, listen, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body about unto the edifying of itself in love. What he's saying is simply this. There will be a grouping. You see where he uses that word, that it's joined together and compacted? That word compacted means to put together, to glue it together, if you will. And there, when you get saved, it's a great thing for you to have some togetherness with those that are of a like mind. You know, I've had people, sometimes they question you, and they say, well, you know, how y'all receive church members? And I've told them, I say, you know, we take them as a candidate of baptism or from a church, a letter of a church of like faith. And people look at you and say, well, what do you mean by that, like faith? Well, you gotta be what we are. I mean, what we like, what we know. It's hard to get into a group and then say, don't see it that way. Amen. I mean, there's probably somebody out there that you know would take you, or but we've got a little document that we have that is the constitution of this church. And it'll tell you what we think. It'll tell you how we believe. It'll tell you on issues and doctrinal matters and all. Hey, you know who's the final authority? The Word of God. Amen? And you ought to get where you're grouped together. He said the whole body should fitly be joined together, compacted, glued together by that which every joint supplies. Everything that joins us together. It ought to get us together, keep us together. He said, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We do it, and we do it in love. And we join together, we band together, we stay together. Do we have disagreements and misunderstandings? Sure we do. But buddy, when you love somebody, you can work through it. You can work through it. Amen. And I believe that's what the Lord wants out of us. Well, we'll stop there and come back and pick up in the further part of this as far as what Paul says about us being joined together, walking together, and all those things here in verses 17 on through the end of the chapter, I think. But I want you to come with a verse of song, if you would, Brother Ronnie. We'll get ready to sing. And maybe if there's somebody here.